You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. Christian Speak Talk Radio is a non-profit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Unto the Lord, for He
When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry. All of your gifts to this ministry are tax deductible. Go out to our website www.whenchristianspeak.com and click on our donation page.
Listen to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, Spreaker.com. All of our broadcasts are available as podcasts through SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, Blueberry.com, Zoom.com, Stitcher.com, Lisbon.com, and BlogTalkRadio.com. To listen to our broadcast by phone, dial 646-478-0660. Again, that number is 646-478-0660. Go visit and like our Facebook page, When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Also be sure to check out Christians Against Suicide and Depression. It's a page dedicated to sharing God's love, encouragement, and hope. There are prayer warriors standing by to receive prayer requests, doing intercession for those under attack by the lie and deception of the devil. We know that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but praise God, Jesus came to set the captives free.
Challenge to change, where transformation begins with you. Change appears to be one of the biggest hindrances to growth and relationships that I have encountered while in ministry. Our focus is usually on someone else and what they have done or are doing to us, instead of us being accountable to God and making sure we're not a stumbling block to ourselves or others. Challenge to Change is about us taking personal responsibility for our Christian walk as we face challenges and issues and how to overcome them through biblical tools and techniques that we will discuss on this show. Everything about this show is encompassed in us depending on the Holy Spirit to edify, enrich, and transform lives by introducing individuals to a personal encounter with God's unconditional love. That is where real transformation begins and ends.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for this opportunity to minister your word. I thank you for those who are watching and those who are listening as well. And I just thank you that for this international ministry that is manifesting. And I thank you in advance for the word that was sown. It fell on good ground. And as a result of that, we can't get away from it because it's in our spirit. And once it's in our spirit, it's in our life. And once it's in our life, that's what we walk in, that's what we talk in, that's what we live in, and that's what we rest in. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so one of the things that really stood out to me is when people are talking back to me and sharing with me something, and then when I hear it either misquoted or misunderstood, then I want to make sure that, because what my mind says is that if that person misunderstands it, then that means there are other people who don't understand it as well. Is it okay, Shia?
I'm checking.
Okay. So what I do is I will explain to that person who's misquoting or taking it in a different direction. So let me give you the first thing that I encountered. And because it's important that a person understands the total concept. All right. So a person was sharing about something that they heard me say is I don't like pain. And so they associated with pain as with, you know, so I'm not willing to try. I'm not willing to do certain things because it might hurt. But in reality, what I mean when I said I don't like pain, my belief system, based off me believing God in his word, is there's a scripture that talks about, and you look it up. Matter of fact, one of you guys look it up right now, but it's a scripture that talks about that if a lesson is not learned or received, then a crueler messenger will be sent. So based off my knowledge of that, that means to me that if you don't learn what you need to learn, then there's going to be more pain because you didn't learn the lesson then or decided not to change from the lesson sent the first time. So giving you total understanding of when you hear me say, I don't like pain, my interpretation of that or my meaning to me is if I learn what I need to learn, then I won't have to re-experience it. And so therefore, if I learn the lesson the first time, I won't have to experience the pain of the second time or the pain of the third time or the pain of the fourth time. So you know, Curly's an eye-store because I've told it enough, but I tell it again. We came through the Lord through financial difficulty. And so we came to him as a result of not knowing, being in the same situation 4 to 5 times. So it's obvious we didn't learn. We were okay with pain then. So then we got to a point where pain was not acceptable and it was no longer permitted. So when God told us, he said, Paul, I want you to give your way out of debt. Curly and I talked about it, and that was our lifestyle. So we don't experience financial pain anymore because we learned the lesson. Now, it took 4 to 5 times, but we got it down, and we got it down pat. So whenever you hear me say, I don't like pain, understand that meaning is I want to learn it the first time so that I don't have to repeat it the second time or the third time, because the scripture clearly says that a crueler messenger will be sent if the lesson is not learned. Okay, so anybody got any questions on that? If you do, just put in the chat section. I share what we got.
Megan said Proverbs 17:11. Was that the verse that you were quoting?
Let's take a look.
I have no way of doing that.
Okay, Megan, would you mind reading that for us? Can she do that?
No, she cannot.
Okay. All right.
Thanks. We'll look it up.
Okay. All right. All right. So after that, minding my own business, and what I came into was, so I want you guys, y'all know I do a lot of similar statements. So as we get started, I want you to please finish this sentence on the chat. Okay, y'all ready? Here come the test. If loving you is hurting me, then I want you to fill it in on the chat. Don't scream at each other, but just fill it in on the chat, and Michelle will let you know whether you were accurate with that. If loving you is hurting me, then what happens? Because it's real powerful. So I've encountered several women this week that were going through some intense pain. And a person misquoted this. And I wanted to make sure that I gave understanding. Because the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What we got?
Madeline says, who has to change?
Who has to change? Madeline, that is correct. So what I want to talk about is experiencing pain or hurt and justifying it instead of placing a demand on the relationship, on your growth, so you don't have to experience it. So if loving you is hurting me, who has to change? And I've always told you, I do. Why is that? Because if the person never changes and you're waiting on them to change, then you will constantly experience that type of hurt. So why do they need to change? Because they are being hurt. And so the person that you're dealing with appears not to change. The longer we wait for them to change, the more pain and hurt we will experience. Because guys, I'm going to be honest with you. Just straight up, that's the only way I know how to be, is When a person is starting to physically, emotionally, or mentally abuse you, what's happening there is they are, the person who's doing it is also disappointed in the fact that you are allowing them to do it. But the same way that our parents as little children would tell us to go to bed, and we didn't want to go to bed, but we went because they placed a demand on us, it's the same way that when a person is being physically, emotionally, or mentally abused, the perpetrator wants you to put an end to it because they want someone to stop them, to shut them down, or to tell them that this is not going to take place in my life anymore. So I just want to make sure you get an understanding of that. And by no means am I speaking condemnation to the person who's being abused, but I am saying the person who is abusing you or hurting you or disrespecting you is disappointed that you are allowing that to go on. But like I said, they will never admit to, well, I was wondering when you were going to stop this from happening. I was wondering when you were going to say something. Because if they get in the way with all the advantages, then why would they hurt themselves? Okay. So guys, if you got any questions whatsoever, feel free to text in the chat and I'll answer your question. But a situation that came up this week where a person was sharing how hurtful, disrespected, and physically hurt they were based off their husband's response and reaction to them. And so when that person took, if loving you is hurting me, who has to change? They acknowledge I do, meaning the person is being hurt, but they were doing it from a perspective of, let me tolerate the pain. Because if loving you is hurting me, then I need to change. So there's something I need to do to help facilitate their growth. But being disrespected and dishonored is not your way of facilitating that change. Your way is setting boundaries, creating boundaries. And I'm going to go over those in a moment. But when you respect something, oh, okay, so let me give you an example, perfect example. When a person comes in for counseling, let's say, it's a mom and a child or a dad and a child. And they are starting to describe to me what that child is like, how they don't do this. They don't do this. They don't do what's expected. They don't do what I ask and so forth. And so I'm listening. And then I'll tell the child, don't sit in that chair. I need you to sit in this chair. Would you mind handing me that pen? And if they do it, then I just showed the parent that they are responding to me based off the authority that I possess. And when they look and listen to you, they recognize that they can get away with things. So if that child was the same in everything that they did, then they would have done that to me as well. Go ahead, Michelle.
I have a question. Wayne asks, why do we make excuses for allowing people to hurt us?
Is there fear of rejection? It's the fear that if that person doesn't, so there's parts of rejection, and then that's that part that wants to be liked. And so you might have 15 friends that love you, spend time with you, but it's just that one person that does not like you or appear to like being with you or around you. So you basically want to go after that one person that's constantly rejecting you to get them to like you. And then you forget about all the people that do want to spend time with you. So it's about self-worth and rejection. Because if they love me, then that means all my 15 friends like me. But if they reject me, I got to find a way to make sure that they like me. And if they don't, then I feel rejected. I feel like there's something I'm doing wrong. For example, I've heard some people say, when they're singing or ministering, you might have 12 people on this side and 15 people on this side. And some people focus on the one that's showing no emotion. Don't have time with it. I don't have time for it. I'm going to look and scan the whole audience, but I'll spend my time responding to the ones who are receiving. Now, you don't have to smile in order to receive, but I can tell in your eyes whether you are or not. So I'm going to continue to scan the audience. I'm not going to waste my time on trying to stop at a certain person and get them to respond or react because it's too draining. Do you realize that some people do that just so that they can reject and respond negatively to you because they recognize that most, and I'm saying it real, unhealthy people will spend time on the person who rejects instead of the people who accept and receiving the word. But excellent question. Okay. Any other question? Okay. All right. So write this down. Boundaries are the foundation of healthy relationships with yourself and others. Boundaries are the foundation. That means that's where it starts. Of healthy relationships with yourself and others. And this is double. So not only do you need to set boundaries with yourself, but you need to set boundaries with others. By setting boundaries on yourself, that means you won't overeat. You won't overbuy. All right, so you guys, Michelle just raised back in her seat. So guys, put it in on the chat section and tell me, what are some of the things that you recognize that you need to set boundaries on yourself for? And then we'll talk about others, okay? So what are the things that you need to set boundaries for about yourself? So remember, I shared with you guys a few weeks ago how I go in and Curly acknowledged it, I grab four cookies. So my hand is set for those four cookies. So that's a boundary on myself. I don't have to be concerned about whether I'm going to get six, whether I'm going to get eight. My boundary is set for four. And I intentionally eat it first thing in the morning. That gives me the rest of the day to work that off. Okay. So I also have like chocolate milk that I like. And so, but I can intertwine those. So I can eat chocolate milk, but I'm still getting the four cookies. Chocolate milk sometimes, and then my Perrier water other times. But I can change those things. But the four cookies, don't get six, don't get eight, and you know I definitely don't get three. So if I go in the box and I only got three cookies left, I'm going to wait till I get another box because I set myself up for four.
I have some answers.
Okay, what we got here?
Tamika says eating sweets.
Eating sweets, okay.
Nicole says my time, my investment into folks who can receive versus those who just want to take and never give.
Okay, all right.
Sharon says, I have to set a boundary on drinking coffee.
Okay.
Nicole also goes back and says her work hours. And Wayne says he has to set a boundary on fried foods.
Fried foods. Okay. All right, guys. Appreciate it. All right. So what are boundaries? In order to operate in something, you have to understand what it does and what it's for. Boundaries are something you don't set. So let me repeat it. Boundaries are not something you set on other people. Because they can always say no. But boundaries are something you set on yourself. Because you are responsible for making sure or seeing to it that these boundaries are operated in. Because you are setting them. So you get to decide. Well, you know, I think I'll go to bed at 10 o'clock. Okay, so who's setting that boundary? You are. So if you break it, who broke it? Beauty. Okay, so it's not something you set on someone else. Because what we found out about human behavior is most people, when you tell them not to do something, they do what? The opposite. God clearly told Adam and Eve, you can eat of everything in the garden. I mean, that was a whole lot of stuff, guys. Just don't eat of that tree. That tree right there that you can see. And what did they eat? Of the tree that he told them not to. If you tell yourself, if you set a boundary on yourself. So you can have a person that is disrespectful. Instead of telling them what to do, you tell yourself what to do. Well, what I will do is I will limit my time that I'll spend with that person. I won't ever, and you can use absolutes when it's dealing with being criticized, being disrespected and dishonored. I'll never ride with them because I'll drive my own car. But that's not something you got to share with them. So I'll drive my own car. So I'm setting boundaries because the last time I rode with them, when I wanted to come home, they wouldn't take me. They wanted to go multiple places, so forth and so on. But if you drive, you get to determine where you're going. You get to determine when you leave. You get to determine how long you'll be there. So if a person is starting to act special, hey, I tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and leave so that you can enjoy your food by yourself. Okay? And so you just get up and go. So just know you're not telling another person what to do, but you are reminding yourself how valuable you are. And if you are valued the way God designed us to be, then that means our tolerance for foolishness and silliness. And I don't mean silliness like us playing with each other. I mean silliness like you're trying to sarcasm, okay? Use sarcasm to hurt a person, and they don't have to put up with that. So just remember, that's not something you set on someone else. It's something you set on yourself. Boundaries are about setting limits on yourself through self-control, okay? There are situations that go on where someone might say something rude to you. Well, by you processing that data in your head, I'm looking at the person and I'm saying, is it worth it? And once the answer comes back, no, it's not, then I'm keep on going. So self-control, boundaries allow you to say, well, I'm leaving at this time. This is a place I won't be coming back to. You're setting up yourself by what you encountered, and you don't even have to talk about it. Okay. Shea, what else we got?
Clarence wants to know, is it okay to tell them you're going to set boundaries?
I find it that it's easier to just set the boundary, because the moment that you acknowledge to them that I'm about to set a boundary, if you do it towards yourself, once again, that's the key. That's the key component, is going forth, I'll be driving my own car and I'll meet you there. I didn't have to mention that I had a boundary, but I did clarify how things were going to be going from this point forward. So I'll meet you at the movies. Just want to let you know that, you know, going forth at church, I'll go ahead and drive myself and then I'll meet you there. And these are the ways where you are focusing on how you are feeling and what the expectation is for you. Because now if you have healthy people that you can communicate with, you can share the boundaries with them, such as, well, honey, I know I'm normally late showing up for church. So what I'll do is why don't you go ahead and I'll meet you there. But that's only dealing with healthy people. Because if you deal with unhealthy people, when you tell them you're setting a boundary, their mindset is, I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure that you regret saying such a thing. And my mindset is, why put myself through an additional pain? So it's like, okay, I just want to let you know, I know we're supposed to be going to the movies tomorrow, but I'll meet you there. So that's how I process the data, because I'm telling you, you tell special people and they get a vendetta, and their vendetta is, I don't care what you say, I'm going to prove you wrong. I don't need that. So that's how that works. Okay. And Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11, it says, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. And guys, it is so important to work under the understanding that I'm responsible for my emotions, my physical, my mental, my spiritual health. That's where we stand. The moment you take me, or the moment I allow you to take me out of my comfort zone or my growth zone, is the moment that you are starting to dictate by your actions and behaviors how I respond. And remember, I know I've shared this before, in the sporting arena, the whole focus is to make sure that I get you to play my game. But where healthiness is, where boundaries are, you don't deal in games. You just deal in life and victory. And it's a cool place to be. It's an awesome place to be when you're dealing with people and you see how they're trying to get you to act, do, and respond a certain way, and you just don't do it. It's just not worth it. But when you walk away, you got to be processing those emotions, because there's no need in being able to walk away, but it's bothering you the whole day. Okay. All right. Let's see what else we have. Any other questions?
No, we're good.
Okay. Boundaries are limits that allow for safe and healthy connections between individuals. So that's another question to yours, Clarence. It's like, boundaries allow healthy connections between individuals. You're dealing with somebody that's not healthy, then you're not talking about boundaries to them, because I'm telling you guys. And one component of being healthy is when a conversation is finished, guess what it is? Finished. But if that person brings the conversation back up the next day that you thought were finished, what's finished, then it's giving you information about their mindset. So I hear some snickering over here on this side of the table. But that's what it literally does. It's like you're thinking the conversation is over because you slept well, you expressed yourself, you thought they expressed themselves. But if they bring it back up the next day, I'm just telling you in advance that that is an indicator. Okay? You guys sharing over there? A healthy boundaries allows individuals to relate. This is awesome. To the genuineness of each other. Have you ever been around someone that every time you said something, they got offended? I mean, I'll give you a perfect example. Movies are, what's the word I'm looking for? Where you can watch a movie and it's, there's no right and wrong for a movie.
Subjective.
A movie is subjective. But if you watch a movie and the person says, well, how did you like it? It was okay, but I, you know, preferred another movie. So Equalizer 2 was better than Equalizer 1. So what am I supposed to do? Argue with you because you like Equalizer 1 and I like Equalizer 2? Well, see, it tells you that when you set boundaries, it creates a healthy genuineness between the two. And you guys can talk about it. Well, you know, what I liked about 2 was such and such, such and such. And well, what I liked about 1 was such and such, such and such. But no, we're going to end up fighting. Not going to speak to you again. Never going to the movie with you again. So wherever healthy boundaries are, then you can be genuine and honest with each other and you guys can talk it out instead of fighting it out, shunning them, talking about them to other people. And so boundaries create health in healthy relationships and it limits how far unhealthy relationships can go. See, am I talking too fast?
No, you don't.
Okay, all right. Y'all ready for this? Boundaries allow for safe, healthy connections between individuals. One of the things I've enjoyed about Curly's family was whenever you go there, they know I love movies. And they know they love cooking and creating new recipes. So when I go there, I take my own movies with me. You know, like I have a stack of movies. Now everything is streamed. But I will have my stack of movies. And they would be working on, let's say, Thanksgiving dinner. And they in there just cooking away. I'm in here just watching my movies. But the connection between my wife was healthy enough where I could do this and she could do that. So I didn't have to help her cook because I know she ain't want me in the kitchen. And, you know, she wasn't into the type of movies I was watching. And so, but it's okay to be around when there's a healthy boundary established. What happens is you can have a healthy relationship where two people can be doing two opposite things and enjoying each other, enjoying the fact that they are seeing someone do something they love to do. For example, I love to cycle and Curly love to walk. I went out there with her one day and we went walking and my mindset was, where are we walking to? Okay. I even offered a bad bike. We got a real safe neighborhood. You know, cars will pull over. I mean, it's nice and safe. Curly said, don't waste your money. Just get me some nice tennis shoes. All right? So with her, so I don't want to go walking unless I'm going somewhere. She doesn't want to go cycling. And that's over and done. But the healthiness of our relationship allows us. So I'll say, honey, I'll see you in 2 hours. Or she'll go walking and she said, well, I'll see you in an hour and a half. But it's at different times. Or it could be at the same time. But if your relationship is healthy and you are communicating what is going on, guys, that is the key. I mean, boundaries create healthy communication. I can't overstress that because boundaries have the ability to have healthiness built within them where communication and discussions are interactive. Okay? So I'm just telling you guys, don't try this on special people. A healthy boundary allows individuals to relate in genuineness to each other. I think I said that earlier, right? Okay. All right, y'all ready? This is one thing I was excited about. giving examples of what of emotional boundaries. Everyone has the right to say no. A healthy boundary that you establish, you should be able to say no. No, and listen carefully. When you say no, you don't have to give an explanation for why you're saying no. The Bible says, y'all do read the Bible, right? It says, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Because anything else that's said, this is Paul Morgan translation, anything else that's said leads to sin. Am I lying on anybody? So you say, no, you know, my aunt and uncle, they're coming in from California tonight, so I won't be able to meet with you. They don't even live in California. You're not going to see them. But see, if I had to just say no, no, no thanks, and just say the answer and don't add to it, because the scripture says anything else would proceed from sin. What, it's 7:30 already?
Yeah.
I got one more. Okay. All right. Another example. This is what I wanted to end with tonight. Establishing severe consequences of being hit or physically hurt by another person, and especially a spousal relationship. Guys, there's one thing, I've been doing counseling for over 36 years, and there's one thing that I can assure you of. If a person hits you and don't get help, it will hit you again. Because they have opened up a portal that has now allowed them to feel like they have the right to physically disrespect you. So a person will say, I'll never hit you again. And I'm telling you to your face, that's a lie. If they do not get help, they will revert to that same situation. But over time, it will be more painful. In the counseling setting, I haven't encountered, I think, one man over time that was